Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lead a fan podcast with Dan and Scott. Hottest golf podcast, whether you like it or not. Fresh from back in the day when Lester played at the park. 7 p.m. special where they played after dark. From the birdies to the focus to the losses and the win. Welcome podcast, patron to the show. Lead a pen, get busy golfing or get busy dying. Hottest golf podcast and I swear I ain't lying. Yeah. Leave the pen.
Welcome back, podcast patrons, to episode 205 of Leave the Pen Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dan. Got my co-host live and in person, Scott. We're going to take you through some breaking news. Scott, what just dropped in the world of golf?
Well, folks, El Pato, Cabrera, two-time major champion, he's out. So spent, I guess it was 30 months in an Argentinian prison, and he's been released. So I guess if you're worried about El Pato, watch out. But I'm pretty sure you can outrun him.
Free my man on hell.
I was going to make a shirt that said free on hell if he didn't make it to the next Champions Dinner. But
you know how, like, in most inner cities, like when, or most rappers and stuff, when their friends get incarcerated, they walk around with, you know, free whoever, spray painted. And they pop up so quickly. Like your boy could be arrested at noon. And by like 2 o'clock, everyone in the community has free on hell t-shirts. You think anybody in Argentina came up with some graffiti spray painted free on hell t-shirts for a two-time wife beater?
I would say no. But then again, who knows? It's Argentina.
He might already have the quote of 2023 locked up. He said, many say prison is bad, but I think prison is good for me.
Yeah, we were talking about that before, and I texted you, like, I can't wait for the Champions Dinner when he, like, just walks up to Billy Payne and he goes, hey, you know what? I have better food in the joint. Guys, gotta step it up here.
I wonder, you think he got swole? Like, do you think he got all swole because he can't do anything but lift all day and smoke cigarettes and get, like, prison tattoos?
I did also wonder if he got, like, a bad prison tattoo and, like, what it would be. So I'm going with he got, like, a really, like, bad version of, like, the 12th green at Augusta.
I'd love to see him come out of the Champions Tour with like a little teardrop tattooed on him. First off, before he even was convicted of beating two women that he was both linked to in a relationship, like he was nuts to begin with. You know, I mean, this fat, overweight Argentinian chain smoking. He was like the South American version of John Daly.
Yeah. So my buddy Mike, Angel Cabrera is his favorite golfer. So
why?
He thinks he's hysterical. So, it was probably the last time the PGA was at. No, it couldn't have been. I don't know. There was one tournament we went to at Bethpage where we followed Cabrera for a few rounds.
Okay.
And I think he probably in the span of like three holes smoked a pack of cigarettes and cursed at his caddy, who I'm pretty sure was his son, Yeah, on a almost every 30-second basis.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. Well, he's back, and supposedly for the last five rounds he's played at his home course in Argentina. He's broken par. You know, I don't know if that's anything to write home about. You know, I don't know the specs of this course. I don't know the slope rate or anything like that, like the difficulty of it. But, you know, supposedly.
It'd be great if it came out that it was like a miniature golf course or like pitch and putt or something.
Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. Like, I would love to see him go on the Champions Tour and go out and shoot like a 95. You know, and just blow up. And quite honestly, you know, is there any other reason to watch the Champions Tour?
No, not at all.
Yeah, like on TV anyway. I mean, in person it's cool, but on TV, yeah. Who cares?
I mean, I wouldn't mind, again, like I said when we were texting before, like if he just went out like full on, like, you know, like he was institutionalized, he gets out there and like he's just like, he's walking by like Stephen Ames on like the fourth tee, like, hey, man, if you make this putt, I'm going to shank you in the yard or something. He just like walks by, says it under his breath. And Stephen Ames is like, wait, what?
Hey, what if he leans into this like a WWE professional wrestling character and comes out in like an orange jumpsuit on the first hole and then strips down and hits his tee shot?
I mean, if he just did all, like, he could go with the Ricky Fowler look and no one will think anything of it.
Ricky Fowler does look like a prison inmate at times. That's phenomenal.
Mm.
That's a great comp right there.
So, anyway, lock your doors. El Pato's out.
Yeah. All right, let's move on, Scott, to the TGL. Everyone's talking about the TGL this week. The TGL, for people that don't know, is going to be the simulator golf league that's going to kind of work hand-in-hand with the PGA Tour. It's not a competitor. It's going to be a friend of, you know, a close acquaintance, if you will. It's going to be on ESPN. Do we know what the TGL even stands for? Like, what's that acronym mean?
I'm pretty sure it just stands for Tiger Golf League. I don't know if that's really what it is, but let's be honest. That's what it is.
It's probably like the golf league. Or something.
Yeah, no, it's like definitely that. It has to be something uncreative.
Yes.
But in the end, ultimately, it's the T stands for Tiger and anything else really doesn't matter.
So they keep billing it like it's going to be at the SoFi Center, which I think leads a lot of people to the train of thought that like it's going to be at SoFi Stadium. And that's not true. This is located in Palm Beach Gardens on the campus of Palm Beach State College. SoFi is just a presenting sponsor. That's it. They're saying a 250,000 square foot indoor arena will be where all the action takes place. So they've got teams now, Scott. I think it's probably a good idea online right now as we record if we should pledge our allegiance to a team. There's six of them. Let me read them to you. We've got Atlanta Drive Golf Club, Boston Common Golf, Jupiter Links Golf Club, LAGC, I'm assuming Los Angeles Golf Club, and then two are just listed as New York and San Francisco.
Yeah, they New York and San Francisco couldn't be bothered to come up with names, apparently.
So if you click on New York, it just says, welcome to New York. And there is a picture of Manhattan. Oh, there's also a picture of the Bethpage Black Horse warning sign. It says, Scott, and we're going to do, because you live in New York and we're both from New York. It says, New York represents the best of the best, and golf in our home state needs no introduction. From Shinnecock Hills to Wingfoot to Bethpage. Steep in the history of the sport, we're ready to take up the mantle and drive the game forward. That is it. There is literally nothing else about this team. So which one? Which
not pick teams yet? Is that what it is?
Well, four teams are picked, Scott. So Boston Common Golf is a team, and that has been picked. Their logo is a frog, and the frogs like. I don't know the actual name of like the throat area where the where like a bullfrog would bellow from, that's a golf ball. So gotcha. That's their logo. Semi-creative, you know, not real cool, but semi-creative. That's Boston Common Golf. Remember the TV show Boston Common?
Yes.
Yeah, it was about like teaching in inner city Boston. Atlanta Drive, GC, of course, Scott, we talked about this with Liv, has capitalized a capital A and has basically stolen what I would consider a mixture of the Atlanta Hawks and the Alabama A. That's the Atlanta team. Jupiter Links Golf Club, which I'm assuming maybe that's the one Tiger's going to be on.
I would. Yeah, he's on there, it looks like.
Oh, that's right. Here's.
So the Alabama could, for the Atlanta makes perfect sense because Justin Thomas went to Alabama.
Sure, sure. It says Jupiter Links Golf Club. We're excited to announce the first player on the Jupiter Links Golf Club roster, Tiger Woods. Let me ask you this real quick, Scott. Do we even need to name any other people on Jupiter Links?
No, not really. That right away is the not only the favorite to win, but that'll be who most people are rooting for.
Los Angeles Golf Club shows a upside down black and white picture of palm trees and the LA skyline, which if you've been there is very nondescript. Kind of a old English semi graffiti-ish Los Angeles Golf Club logo. And it says, from the streets to the greens, we're making golf our own. That's LAGC. Colin Morikawa is a enormous player on LAGC. He is all about it. He has basically said that joining LAGC is one of the highlights of his career.
I just hope they come out to Straight Outta Compton. For every, like, I'm assuming there's going to be entrance music. So for every match, I just hope that they're just Straight Outta Compton.
Look, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, if they
and the unedited version of it,
I don't think that's going to fly, Scott.
Probably not.
No, you know, Straight Outta Compton, crazy mother name.
Yep.
Yeah, that's. I would love it. It's not going to happen. But here's the thing, after seeing some of these press releases. And watching some videos on Instagram, and I'll be completely transparent. I follow them on Instagram, the whole TGL, not these individual teams. I don't think I'm going to get into that. But after doing all that, hearing it, seeing it, taking in this content, digesting it, they are playing this up like the TGL is as important as the four majors every year. And I think that's the wrong way to go about it. I think they need to lean into the kitschiness of it. I think, like you said, they need entrance music. Like, it needs to be fun. It needs to be something different than what you get in a normal tournament. Because like we said before, Scott, off air, if you're going to hit into a simulator and you're going to hit into a screen and you're going to have this undulating green inside the stadium that mimics a course, well, hell, why not just go out on the course and do it?
So here's my thing with that. And I've said this a few times on this podcast. One of the things that golf needs to think about is how to make it more accessible to people who don't have hours to sit on weekends and watch. Like, we're going to do, we complain about it, but we're going to do it anyway.
We're going to watch it. Let's be honest.
So one, this accomplishes that goal. Two, how do you make it an event? Well, you make it an event the way that boxing works, right? You get like, you know, two guys that people want to see, you have them play match play against each other. Okay. Now you want Tiger to be involved. Okay. Let's back up a little bit. Cause maybe Tiger's not going to play match play. Cause unless he can ride a cart around, he's not really going to want to do that. Let's come up with something that makes it more accessible for Tiger to do. You got your whole like wacky simulator thing. Top Golf is really big right now. So you know, why not lean into this? Like, all right, let's do this thing where there can be time limits and it's going to go quick because there's just going to be shots and you can get in, get out in a, you know, hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Who knows how long these things are going to be.
There's going to be a shot clock and referee.
There's, by the way, that there is some type of celebrity referee that they're hinting at. Because if you read the description of the referee, it's someone who has experience with shot clocks and golf rules and things like that.
Mm.
So I'm going to assume, going to be some basketball player who's involved in this. Or some kitschy thing like that.
All right, so let's do this first. Hold on. Before we make that thought, let's just backtrack to stay on track. Let's pick a team first. Who are we rooting for? Is it obvious? Are we going to go New York?
I'm going to go straight out of New York.
Okay, so all chalk, New York, Rocket, just like the Jets, hopefully a better organization. Now, is it going to change your mind if the New York logo or the New York team name is god-awful? Or are we riding, dying? Are we riding, dying?
Our football team has a god-awful logo.
Okay. Then we're riding, die with New York. All right, go ahead. Continue on. Sorry.
So anyway, this is the description of the referee. Because, again, I'm convinced that they're teasing something here.
Is it Michael Jordan? Do you think it's that big? Do you think they're going to have the power with Tiger Woods associated with it to pull Michael Jordan, go to, you know, SoCal, and for whatever this runs, 15 weeks or whatnot, and have him be the ref?
I can't imagine that Michael Jordan would get involved in this. You know, but having said that, it's hold on, where did this even go? I had it like 2 seconds.
And I want Dennis Rodman then. I want over the top. Like, I want NWO Dennis Rodman as the referee.
Here it goes. A seasoned veteran when it comes to refereeing top athletes in pressure situations, our ref has experience with timeouts, shot clocks, and team sports. They'll be assisted by a golf rules expert in the booth.
Has experience with shot clock, which means it has to be. Shot clock
and team sports.
All right, so it has to be an NBA ref. What was the name of that guy that was implicated in the cheating scandal and the gambling stuff, and he was barred from the NBA? I want that dude.
Same.
Or I want Ed Hockley from the NFL and his biceps.
Okay, I could get by that. I could deal with that.
All right, so that's interesting. So they're going to be nothing more than a figurehead because there's obviously going to be a rules official there. So
that's my point, is that they're teasing something there. Like, there's going to be, like, some guy who's recognizable who is the referee, the ref. Well,
Scott, here's the thing. Everything's a tease because they literally have nothing physical to show. If we go into an investment meeting and we have an idea, we go on Shark Tank. We can't just show up and pitch an idea that we don't physically have because no one will invest,
right?
We need to show a product. They are playing this off like it's the second coming of golf 2.0 with nothing to show. Teams that don't exist. No one has seen anyone hit a shot on these simulators. No one has seen what this undulating, oscillating, movable green looks like. The stadium isn't built. I mean, this could all just blow up as a pipe dream. But let's say, Scott,
there's a lot of guys with money involved in this.
Correct.
So
let's say that this pushes on. All right. But hey, let's backtrack a bit. We know that there's a lot of money invested in LIV, and that still sucks. We'll get to that in a second. But let's say this goes off without a hitch. And the first week, you know, it garners, I don't know, I think 250,000 people watching would probably be some good numbers for them. You know, Champions Tour sometimes gets 75,000 people watching. So let's say they get 250,000 people. Everything goes off without a hitch. There's no technical difficulties or anything like that. New York and whatever the other, San Francisco, both have team names and everything's cool. All right. Let's say all that goes down. Scott, how long is this leash for people to keep watching? Do they watch for 3 weeks? Do they watch just the first week? When do those numbers fall off the cliff?
That's an interesting question.
Because I think it's one of these things. All right, let's. What is this most comparable to? In my opinion, this is most comparable to like the XFL or the new USFL or any of those indoor leagues or any rival football league that pops up every, you know, few years. They get team names, jerseys. They get a few guys that you know about. And for the first week, you're like, you know what? Yeah, I'm all in. Like, this is going to give me a new viable product. You watch it for a week and you're like, eh, that was okay, but it's not the NFL. Then you watch it the second week and you're like, yeah, I've kind of got something better to do with these 2 hours. I feel like this might become that. I mean, this is almost like watching esports.
So that's, yeah, it's that's probably the closest comparison. The only difference between this and the XFL is that this has legitimate star power. It's got Tiger. It's got Steph Curry involved. So that makes a bigger, that makes a little bit of a difference.
I think Curry could be the ref.
Oh, that's he's a team owner though. So I feel like that's
conflict of interest,
a little conflict of interest. Now here's the other thing is like, how real is this that really matters?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, and this goes back to what we said in the beginning. I would love the fact if they lean into the kitschiness, if they lean into the fact that, like, hey, we're partners with the PGA Tour. We're not the PGA Tour. Right? Like, this is silly. We can still be competitive and it can still be silly. Like, we don't have to make a mockery of the game, but let's kind of make it fun.
Exactly. So that's in the end, yeah, to hope like whatever it is that they do is not a huge joke where the legitimate golf fans are like, nah, I'm not watching this. I can't deal with it. It's too hokey. But it also brings in enough people that are like, all right, like I'm not a golf fan, but like, oh, Steph Curry's involved. I like video games. Maybe this isn't so bad.
All right, well, let me ask you this question. Last question about this TGL. And then the only time we'll talk about this is when we bring updates for our favorite team, New York. At what point does this start to bring in non-golf fans? Is there a point? Or is this just going to siphon off a small section of golf fans that consume golf on television?
I think it starts to bring in non-golf fans if they can somehow get sports books to be interested in it.
Okay. So if we add gambling to it, the degenerates out there that are losing money every week now have a new revenue source to spend their money on.
Exactly.
Okay.
That gets people watching. That gets bars to turn it on. That in turn gets more people to watch. I mean, again, the adding gambling into it gives people a vested interest.
All right. With all that being said, again,
the other thing that could get people interested, it is if, again, they make it an event. Like, what is bringing the non-golf fan to it? So if there's like, all right, we're going to have this and a special performance by whatever artist that gets people to watch.
So basically this is like an indoor live.
It's an indoor live that's less shady.
Fair enough. But probably still just as shady with some of the investors who are just taking that money and investing it back into their own companies.
Oh, I mean, all these people. I mean, like Steve Cohen is not like a the most reputable person in the world.
Hey, is he involved with our New York team?
He owns the New York team.
Oh, gosh, Scotto. All right. Well, I mean, hey, Woody Johnson owns the Jets, you know what I mean? And so he ain't the greatest person in the world either.
I got to run downstairs. I'm going to hopefully this doesn't like mess with things, but I'm taking this whole like operation with me.
Oh, God, you're on the move. We're That's hilarious. All right. Well, I'll get into the next thing as you are going mobile right now. Tour of Scott's house.
I was going to say, right. You don't put these videos up, but if you want to check out a tour of my house.
So we got a question. We got questioned a few weeks ago, and someone sent us a message on Instagram, and he said, y'all are just a bunch of live haters. And I just messaged him back, and I said, okay, what is your point? I mean, it's not a question. It's a statement, and it's a pretty true statement. And, Scott, I think I can speak on behalf of you on the fact that, yes, we hate Liv, not the players, not the golf itself, but the setup. Now, on the same token, we hate the way the PGA Tour is presented as well as times. I think if you've been with us for 205 episodes, you understand that Scott and I hate a lot of things because we feel like we could do some of these things a little bit better. Would you agree, Scott?
So I actually don't really hate Liv so much. Like, the golf itself is fine. Like, it's just like another thing. It's just hokey. Like, they tried way too hard. Like, if you want to have a golf league, just have a golf league. Adding in the whole, like, the thing that I hate about Liv is the teams. The team format is fine, but the actual, like, makeup of, like, the logos and, like, how the team thing, like, it's just ridiculous. Like, stop. Just stop. The golf itself is fine.
Yeah, look, the golf itself is fine. I don't care if they wear shorts or not. I'm actually in favor of that. I mean, honestly, I would be in favor if they wore athletic t-shirts and short combos that had the team name on it. Like, I'd be cool with that. What I hate is the fact that so much money is being pumped into it. And you've had so many years of watching how poor the product translates on TV, that is the PGA Tour, and you still, with all that money, were unable to make it any better. You have this roaming leaderboard on the left-hand side of the television, which you can't make out for anything. I got no idea who's in the lead because I have no idea what hole people are on. And it's just, it's a mess. You know, it's just a mess. And while I commend them for trying to do something different, the fact of the matter is that some things don't need to be changed.
Again, here's the thing, though, is that it does need to be changed. They just didn't change it. Like, all they did was say they were cooler, but like you said, like, they didn't really, they're not doing anything different other than letting guys wear shorts and playing one less round.
Yeah, and having music playing throughout.
Yeah, but even that's like, I mean, it's fine, but if you go to like a PGA Tour event that like has like a decent fan zone, like, you're getting that experience anyway and still able to watch golf.
I'm kind of curious as to what, I've never been to a live event, okay, but I am curious as to what music is being played during the round. Like, is someone curating that playlist? What type of music is it? Is it clean? Is it radio edit?
I would think it's probably clean music. I think it's probably like, I'll call it like rock anthems.
Okay, or like top 40 pop. Like something real vanilla.
Yeah, like what you would get if you went to any stadium anywhere. Like what they play in between innings or... like during commercial breaks at an NFL game, like that kind of stuff. Like, you're getting your Bon Jovi's, you're getting your AC/DC, you know, maybe you're mixing in some pop music, stuff like that. That's my, right. I haven't been, but that's my guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's whatever. But to call us live haters, sure, that's fine. Call me a PGA Tour hater. I mean, I can't stand the network coverage. I can't stand listening to Paul Azinger. Like, legit, I turn it off. The dude just drives me absolutely insane. I can't stand his Azingerisms. It's the same thing every single week. It's like he does, look, we don't do research for this pod, right? And I say that, but we do a little bit. I feel like we do 10 times as much research as he does for a tournament, no matter where it is. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely insane. Scott, let's move on. We did finally this week, you know, in talking about not doing research for the pod or being on top of things. I did put out the call earlier in the day. We got a bunch of questions. We're going to go to listener questions right now, Scott, because I think it's important to acknowledge the people that have been with us from the beginning, as well as the new fans that we have made along the way. So, Scott, I'm going to read the first question, give a little shout out to the people, and then we will go from there. You and I will both answer each one. All right. So this is from Tour Caddy Dan, Dan Urban. He's a professional caddy, real good guy. This will be after Veterans Day has occurred, but happy Veterans Day to him. He asks, the lowest temp to attempt to play golf in, what would that be for both of us?
I'm pretty sure that you and I played in below freezing temperatures. I think it was actually the day after Thanksgiving. I feel like we played Glenbrook, and when we started our round, it was probably 32 degrees.
Go ahead.
That's probably about my limit would be, you know, between 40 and 30. Anything colder than that, I'm not doing.
So I don't have any scientific evidence to this, but I will not hit my driver if it is less than 35 degrees out. So I will just move up a set of tees. I'll make every hole a par three. But Scott, I can tell you, this is not bragging. This is not being grandiose or lying. I have played in 20 degree weather before. And I mean, it's cold.
Where you live, I mean, you're getting that, you know, on days where the rest of us, you know, it's probably still pretty reasonable. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, anything less than 20 is without a doubt a no-go. And look, 20 isn't something that I go looking for, right? Like, I'm not like, ooh, it's going to be 20 today, I'm going out. But if it's one of those things where it's sunny, it's not windy, because the wind in the winter here just kills you. It cuts through you. So if it's not windy and there's a little bit of sun and maybe I haven't been out for a few days, yeah, I'll go out and play nine holes in 20 degree weather. You know, if you're walking and you're properly insulated and you've got your extremities covered, you know, I think that's fine. Most people are going to listen to this and be like, you guys are freaking nuts. You're insane.
You got to do what you got to do. You want to get some golf in. As long as it's not snowing and you're going to do damage to the course, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So next one from Will.Ebers. Great college player from Lycoming College, out towards Williamsport, middle of the state here in Pennsylvania. He said, I heard you say that you preach speed comes first and then we can work control from there. Why? I think this is a great question. All right. Few reasons. There were two studies and I can't recall off the top of my head where they were from. Okay. So apologies on that end. There were two studies that showed that there are basically like two age gaps where speed can be taught due to musculoskeletal development in kids. And for boys, and I'm speaking only on boys because I have two boys that both golf. The first one is between 6 and 8 years old. The next one is between 13 and 16 years old. So like I have preached to my kids, swing hard, swing fast, and I will be able to fix you and straighten you out. Because if you are an athletic kid and you can make decent contact, then odds are it's only a small tweak to the swing, maybe club path, maybe club face, could be wrist angle, to get that ball going straight. But most adults will understand when I say this. It is almost impossible to teach an adult, and by that I mean someone like over 25, 30 years old, how to swing faster. Because everyone that's listening to this that starts to swing out of their shoes, they know they don't make great contact because they haven't been swinging that way their entire life. So for those people, it benefits them just to swing smooth and make contact because they actually hit the center of the club face. There's an art. There's a skill to hitting the ball long. Like, don't let people fool you and say that that is something that is natural, right? That it's like dumb luck. Oh, that guy's 6'5" and hits the ball 320 because he's 6'5". Like, no, that's an absolute skill. And if you look at PGA Tour numbers or professional golf numbers or collegiate numbers, even high school numbers, the most strokes gained come from off the tee. So yeah, chipping and putting is very, very important. But the most strokes gained in tournaments at the professional level all the way down to high school kids comes from off the tee. So if you can be longer without being completely wrong, it is an enormous advantage. And if you look at where the game of golf has gone in the last 15, 20 years, the courses are longer, the kids are bigger, stronger, faster. The setups are more penal. The greens are faster. So would I rather have a 7-iron to a green or a pitching wedge? Everybody out there in listener land knows the answer to that question. So I've seen it with my own son. My son is legit 5'7.5", maybe 5'8", on a good day if his hair's poofed up a bit, right? And legit hits the ball 280, 285 average and has pumped some out there this year, you know, with conditions 340, 350, right? Physically, that should not happen. But it's a skill that's been ingrained over time. Take any single sport, any sport whatsoever, bigger, stronger, faster wins. Hands down, all the time. It's a big man's world.
So I'll even say this, as a mid to kind of high-ish handicap player, like knowing that I'm hitting a ball into a green that I'm not necessarily going to hit accurately, but just knowing I can get it close makes a much bigger difference than if I take, you know, less club, try and kill it, and still end up short.
Yeah.
Like I'd rather be, you know, pin high, having off the green, having hit, you know, a 3-wood, even though that it seems that the green's not really designed to accommodate a 3-wood, but that's okay. Like, I, you know, that works for me. And that's something that I figured out, you know, fairly recently. Like, that's a better shot for my game.
And I think everyone needs to know their game as well. But I think what Will's referring to is like competitive junior golfers, right? And so if you want to be competitive and you want to play golf at the next level, whether that be junior college, D3, 2, 1, or after that, you want to run mini tour circuits and stuff. Like, length is it. You know, I'll just talk real quick. When we went to States, you know, like, my son is long. He was still one of the longest ones there, but he was not the longest. And every single kid that was good was within 10 to 15 yards of him. Now, juxtapose that during the season where he might be out driving some kids by 50 to 75 yards. You know, right. But at the highest levels of every level, the top kids know that speed training works and you need to be able to develop those muscles under the stress that the golf swing takes the toll, you know, takes on your body.
And the other thing is, bottom line, like, if you're long, if you're not that off target, you're going to outdrive a lot of the problems anyway. So yeah,
that is, Scott, that's a great point. Hey, look, that's a phenomenal point. Let me add some color to that in our own life. So Indian Mountain, our golf course, has been doing a ton of renovation the last 3 years. So I go out there on Monday of this week to go play, and I noticed they added 14 trees between the third and the fourth hole. Now, they're small ones now, but they're going to be they're basically like Christmas trees. So picture that. And it's kind of defining the holes because the holes played right next to each other. I mean, like straight up, straight back. And we looked and we're like, oh, my God, like this is really going to change the way we play it next year. And we're kind of analyzing everything. And we get up to the tee box and I said to both my boys, I said, wait a minute. No, this is only going to hurt the people that hit the ball between 200 and 250. Because anybody else past that is going to be able to drive it strictly straight over the trouble. It's literally not even going to come into play for us, which, you know, if you talk to some PGA Tour guys or talk to guys that are a really high level of golf, one of the things that they'll tell you, if you and I look at a hole, Scott, we'll say, ooh, we can't hit it there because that bunker's in the way. And they say, what bunker? So that big one on the right-hand side. I didn't even see it. I'm flying that.
Yep.
So that's a great point that you can outdrive that trouble. I love that. All right, third or fourth question. Ready? This is hilarious. Shrewsba says, you have to give him an answer, Scott. All right? Why won't my wife let me move to Phoenix? I just want to golf all the time.
All right, Mrs. Shrewsba. Here's what I know about Phoenix. It's the weather's great there all the time. You don't have a lot of rain. It's a great environment to raise kids in. Mrs. Shrewsba, you should definitely consider making that move. Do what you got to do. Help your guy out. Then you can golf with him all the time.
Now, that's a great point. And now, Scott, since we delivered such phenomenal advice that we definitely think their family should take up, don't you think it would be nice if they sent us an invitation once they've moved into their new digs in Phoenix?
I would just assume that we would be invited, yeah.
I like that. All right, last question from P. Junior Scratch Golf. Shout out to Goat Farm. Should playing barefoot in competitive matches be allowed? I've never thought about this question in my life, Scott.
Is it not allowed?
I don't know. I mean, isn't that a great question to ask right off the bat? Is there a rule, a local law that says, you know, no shoes, no service?
That's a really interesting question. I don't know what would, I mean, there may be some rule book that says you have to wear footwear, but I'm not aware that that's a rule.
Here are some of the negative things that can happen if you don't wear sneakers or don't wear shoes.
There's obviously negative things that can happen, but that's sort of a at your own risk kind of thing.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I first off, I think it's one of those things where it's like a societal norm. I think it's the biggest thing, right? The look. No one likes the look of it. Just like, why can't I play golf without a shirt on? I work hard on my body, right? I want to play without a shirt. Well, it's a societal norm. You wear a shirt, right?
Right.
You know, I don't think walking on pine straw or like over pine cones or hot gravel or cart paths like would necessarily be fun. But I understand if like it was a really lush course. A lot of people do like to play barefoot because the connection to the earth, you know? Connection to the course. I personally could not. I mean, my feet are so awful. It's hard for me to even walk barefoot. Like I need, you know, my sneakers and my insoles.
Same.
I don't know. I mean, quite honestly, there'd be less wear and tear on the course, right? Even if you turn in spiked shoes, it does tear up the tee box a little bit. You get a really overweight guy that's dragging his feet on a green. You got those marks left, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously, more greater likelihood you're going to hurt your feet doing that, but
probably.
I almost wonder if that's a, you know, like maybe you can't be barefoot while you're walking, but maybe you throw some sandals on, take your shot barefoot. I really, like I said, I don't know why they'd stop you from doing that. Or why, or how anyone would even really know if you went out with your own foursome.
Well, it says competitive.
Competitive. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. So what do you think? If, you know, the Dan Scott Golf Association, the DSGA, which is, you know, world renowned. Are we allowing this, Scott, or are we banning this from competition?
I'm going to say DSGA rules would allow it.
Yeah, I would think so too. Now, me personally, I mean, I think I have an advantage over someone that's playing in bare feet, but what, you know, I don't know.
I mean, you're going to be more stable, I feel like.
I think so.
And that's probably, in all honesty, I think if there was a pro who wanted to play barefoot, I don't know that they'd stop him. But I don't think that that's a thing they want to do.
So, you know, if Liv really wanted to be disruptors and innovators, they would let people play barefoot as well.
Encourage it.
Encourage it. All right, Scott, do we have anything else for the episode?
A round of who the hell is this?
Oh, Scott, I know you have one. And this is the first time that you're turning the tables on me. Now, you do have to send me this picture so people can play along midweek next week when this episode drops.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to show you this.
Okay. I literally no idea. Scott, I have no idea. He is every other tour pro for the last 30 years. I have pretty no clue. That. I'm not even going to harbor a guess, Scott. I do. What's his first name?
I'm going to give you this.
Is his name Ryan?
No.
Is it John?
No.
How about Joey? He looks like a Joey.
It's not that.
is his name Al?
Nah, he's not that fat. So this is a guy. You're not going to recognize his face, but his name stands out.
Name stands out. All right, give me the first letter of his first name. Riveting, M. Riveting M?
Yeah.
Marcel.
No.
Mike.
Michael.
Michael. Michael Brantley.
No.
Michael Jordan.
Again, his name stands out.
Michael Standout. No, Scott, I have no idea. I'm sorry.
It's Matthew. My apologies.
You're not even giving me the right info. His name's Matthew.
Matt.
That this is how vanilla this guy is. He could be Michael. He could be Matt. Scott, I don't know. It's not Matt Wolf. I know who that dude is.
Yeah.
Does this guy play on the PGA?
That is Matt Neesmith.
Matt Neesmith?
N, capital N, lowercase
E-I-S. Yeah, Smith, I know. Yeah, I've heard of his name. No, put that picture back up again. Let me see this dude again. Matt Neesmith. Maybe as a brother, Michael.
Maybe.
Michael Neesmith.
I was thinking the dude from the Monkees. Mike Nesmith.
Oh, that is. All right, let's see. Let's see.
It's just a golfer in a Strixon hat.
I mean, dude, literally. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that's interesting.
I texted it to you, too, by the way.
Okay, thank you. Matt Nesmith. I'm never going to forget. Scott, look. I could look at this dude's picture for a month straight every single day. And then you could put four pictures up and say, which one is Matt Neesmith? And I would not be able to pick it out. This guy looks like he just came over to your barbecue uninvited with like half a case of Coors and four of them are already empty.
He actually does kind of look like the guy who lives across the street from me. So.
You're telling me, how much did this guy make last year? Do you know?
My next door neighbor?
because this dude knew he was getting his PGA Tour picture taken, right? And he still couldn't look any less disheveled than he does in this picture.
So Matt Neesmith has he's played He's made 68 of 117 cuts, and he's made $5.8 million.
Wait a minute. Matt Neesmith has played in 118 tournaments?
He was 70th on the FedEx Cup last year.
What the hell? This guy.
That guy.
Matt, a.k.a. Michael Neesmith, has made $5-point-something million dollars in his career.
Yep.
There's, look.
Well, he tied for second at the Shriners last year.
Oh, that's an
awesome. Ninth at the Zozo. I mean, those are big, you know.
That wasn't even in Japan anymore, China. It's back in the U.S., the Zozo.
Tied for fourth at the Zurich Classic.
That's not even a real event either. Like, it's like 90 degrees and 100% humidity whenever they play that. That's a team event, isn't that down there?
Yep.
Yeah, that's not even. This dude rode the hot hand of someone else. Scott, this guy right here, Matt Neesmith, $5-point-something million dollars in his career, couldn't get a better look. 5.8, couldn't get a better look than what he's got. This guy legit might have passed me in the mall last weekend. This guy shops at my shop, right, Scott?
He's got a Corn Ferry win too.
Scott, this dude works at the Ace Hardware in my town. This guy sold my dad a Chevy Silverado. And this is the same dude that does my taxes as well, Scott. Matt Neesmith. That's a good one, dude. That's a real good one.
You see the name on the leaderboard and it stands out because of the way it's spelled.
All the time.
But
isn't that the best way? Like, wouldn't that be who you'd want to be on the tour? Someone that could just walk around nondescript. You make millions of dollars. You live a great life, and not a single person knows who you are, especially when you take the golf cap off.
Well, that's why I picked him, because I'm like, oh, I know that name. There's no way I can put a face to it, though.
That is hands down the best one we've had so far. I like that. I'm going to have to try to top you next week.
The Johnson Wagner with his cleanly shaven Johnson Wagner with his Budweiser cap that's a good one too.
That was good. But I know that dude. I knew Johnson. That was good. Scott, last thing on the docket.
You know what it looked like now.
Oh yeah, it's wild. I wonder what Matt Neesmith looks like now. I'll go to my gas station and go find out. One of the newest things that I started collecting, Scott, I like to collect stuff. All right. I collect baseball cards and some golf memorabilia, but I started to get into golf card collecting. There's a good podcast out there called Fondling Cardboard, kind of a weird name, you know?
Okay.
But this guy's from Canada. He's a big time golf collector. I find it's so niche. Like, it is so niche. It's crazy. But he's interesting. Yeah,
we did this probably like 100 episodes ago.
Yes, yes. But that was this pro set. Yeah, I got that off of eBay for like $4, an entire box, and we opened packs.
I was gonna say that's upstairs in the studio. I came.
Yeah, that's
there right I'm now.
Looking at it right now in my my golf cabinet off to the side over there. But these are like real. So I've got three so far, Scott. I got a Stewart Cink auto card. I got a Luke Donald patch auto. It's got a patch of his shirt and his autograph on it. And then I've got a Justin Leonard patch card, which is like a red, white, and blue star cut out of one of his shirts that he's worn at some point in time. Now, Topps doesn't make these. Upper Deck makes these, and they're going to be starting a new series next year. So I think I'm going to buy some boxes, and that'll be some good content. Try to collect the set like I do with, you know, my baseball cards and stuff. And, that's my new little tiny obsession. My favorite thing, Scott, hold on. My favorite thing to do at night for like 30 minutes is go online and sort my cards into best offer on eBay. And then I just throw the most lowball offers at people.
So that's my question is, what is like a reasonable offer for a Luke Donald game-worn polo shirt card?
All right, hold on. Let me get this card for you so you can see it. All right, because it's actually pretty cool. Like, it's neat. All right, here it is, Scott.
That's okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, it's got three collars in the patch, a nice picture of Luke Donald, and a real good on card auto with shipping. Scott, this card cost me $4.75.
$4.75. Is that a legit autograph, or is that
Nope. 100%. It's the whole on the back of the card says, "Congratulations, you received a trading card personally hand autographed by Luke Donald. This trading card was sent to Upper Deck directly from Luke Donald. Certificate expressly warrants the authenticity of the depicted athlete's signature, as well as the authentic piece of shirt on the front of the card." Scott, for $4.75, how could I not buy a winning Ryder Cup captain patch auto card?
No, I feel like that's a solid deal right there for, you know, a reasonably recognizable player.
So what I'm doing now is I'm kind of getting
Donald autograph on a Masters pin flag goes for anywhere between $100 and $150.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're paying for the Masters pin flag there, you know?
Yeah, so, totally. That's what I'm saying, is like the flag, you're just paying for the flag itself.
Yeah. So my thing is I'm starting off real low for these guys, right? And I'm starting to collect people from like when you and I grew up in golf, like from the, you know, late 90s or so, mid to late 90s. Tiger autos are through the roof. Like, that's never going to happen unless you pull one out of a box. And then Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, and Colin Morikawa are the autos that, like, you can't really touch for under, like, $100 anyway, you know? But there's so many guys that we know, Scott, like, know and love and can actually know who the hell they are, that you can get, like, legit this Stuart Sink card, gorgeous card, just came in the mail today. It cost me $2.25 shipped. Because I go best offer and I just send these people the stupidest offers. And these cards, like, who's buying a Luke Donald card? Like, legit, who's buying that aside from me and maybe 10 other people in the world? So they have it up for $15-$20. I send them a note. I'm like, "Hey, man, I really like this card. I'd love to add it to my collection. My offer's $3. And they come back like, "Well, I'll do $6. I'm like, "Nah, F that. I'll do $3.75. Like, "All right, accepted."
So I went with Colin Montgomery just to see what's out there.
Yeah, I've seen some of his. Great autograph, too.
So, again, you get me started on these things, and I find stuff that I'm like, wow, that would be pretty sweet to own.
I understand.
There is a 2014 game-used Colin Montgomery inked driver autograph, which has like the face of a driver.
Yes, and it's signed on the face of the driver.
Yeah. Right now, it's $30 or best offer. There's another version. Someone else has it for $17.50. And then there's a Persimmon Rory McIlroy one that's like $3,300.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Well, nuts. So, I mean, this is like legitimately a cool item to have.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, dude, it's you know, with my baseball card collection, it's very focused on the Cardinals, and then I collect the set per year, the Topps main set per year, and I collect the one pro debut, which is the minor league set per year. But this is so cheap, like, and it's so easy to get cool stuff, at least things that I think are cool, for really, like, really reasonable prices.
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, like, it's not like you're buying it to for the purposes of reselling it and you're hoping to make some money. You just want to have some cool stuff.
Yeah, so. And I do that, and quite honestly, like, from some of the baseball cards that I'm able to sell and stuff like that, it's where this discretionary income comes into. And so, I'm going to turn it into some cool golf cards. So every once in a while, we'll showcase those. I think I put one up on Instagram today, but although that'll be way past whenever we release this episode. But that's it, bud. I don't have anything else. You all good? All solid and ready to start the weekend?
It is, you know, we were off today, actually, for we got today off for Veterans Day.
We got a nice email from our school that said Happy Veterans Day to anyone that served. We still had school. Hmm.
Yeah, no, we were off. So me and you know, my daughter, Emily, we kind of hung around at home. She had dance, so she kind of just wanted to relax before that. We actually had some work going on at the house. So we kind of were stuck while the guys were doing that. So it's kind of a chill day, just waiting to talk to you and do this. So
there you go.
It's a good start to the weekend. And tomorrow I'm going to go out and chainsaw some stuff.
Hey, I love that. I love that. Tomorrow I'm going to smoke some pork for about 8 hours for Lai's birthday dinner, which is next week. And, you know, family will come over and we'll do all that. And then chill. And then the countdown is on to Pinehurst, Scotto.
So wait, so when are you doing that? When are you leaving for that?
Next Saturday.
Gotcha. All right. So yeah. That'll be good.
Oh, yeah. You know it, baby. You know it. All right, bud. We all good?
I think so.
Hey, fantastic. All right, people. Either get busy golfing or get busy dying.
Catch you later.
Podcast patrons, Leave the Pin Podcast is super stoked to have Gashouse Golf as their official clothing sponsor for the podcast. Go to gashousegolf.com, find them on all forms of social media at Gashouse Golf. Gashouse makes affordable, eye-catching, one-of-a-kind polos that help you stand out from the crowd. Why spend $75, $100, or even more on polos that make you look like everybody else when you can get one at an affordable price from Gashouse Golf? Hit the ball a mile and look damn good doing it. Swannies is here with a fresh take. Performance-based materials are a given these days. But if you're looking for the stretchiest and most lightweight pieces that deliver a look that says I'm here for a good time, take a walk on the Swannies side. With fabric sourced from recycled plastics and design sourced from our very own weekend warriors, Swannies is looking out for both our planet and those that need a little style to boost their drive another 15 yards. Premium looks from top to bottom at swannies.com.